Yo, what's up? What's up? It's another episode of the True Tone Show. I'm your host, Amante Hall. This episode, I'm just doing a breakdown of the last episode. Maybe it's called In the Mix, mixing up cuts, and I get snippets from interviews that I had just had in the recent one with Richie Kamchoon. Also, I'm going to ask you guys a question about Thanksgiving. See where your thoughts are. Hang in here. I'll see you guys on the other side. We back, we live, baby. Ha ha. Hey, when this episode drops, it's gonna be like the last Monday of the month, after Thanksgiving. And it's exciting. Hopefully you had a good time and you loved your family and nobody fought and you had to sit on your uncle, or you had to hold your cousin or your sister or your brother back from swinging. Yeah, don't act like it. Don't act like people don't act up on Thanksgiving, Christmas. You ever get in a fight and then break a present on the accident? No, let me stop. I don't want. Oh no, you knocked out Aunt Betsy's teeth. You acting up. Y'all yelling. You know, people when they yell, it doesn't make they don't make no sense. Oh, you make me so You know, when you see someone get so angry their veins come out on their forehead, it's like calm down for you bust a brain cell or something. Forget where you parked your car. and then when people get, when they get upset, they do stupid stuff. Like, you ever just grab things when you're mad? I don't know if it's like an anxiousness, like a defense mechanism, but when people get upset, they just do stuff. I'm out. And they just grab that one shoe. Where's the other shoe? Did you put that one on? No, you didn't, because you're upset. Calm down. This is not you. Sit down before you lose Aunt Bessie's teeth. You know what I'm saying? Like, chill out. Come on. It's Thanksgiving. Is that dysfunctional to be talking about fighting already? All right, let me change the topic. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish? Is it the pie? The pumpkin pie? I only eat that once a year. I'm not a cake guy. I look like I'm a cake guy, but I'm not a cake guy. I'm not a sweet guy. I like ice cream though. Ice cream's good. My favorite dish, so this year, I made a honey bourbon ham, and I know some people don't eat, like, pork or whatever. Is it ham or pork? Whatever it is, I don't know. Some food. It's food. But I know some people don't like it, so don't get grossed out. Is it a staple dish? Is probably, like, turkey. You got some greens. That's black people stuff. I shouldn't say it's only black people, but it looks different, smell better. They got the cream corn. Oh, look at me. I am struggling. There's a whole bunch of dishes. I don't eat the little jelly thing that everybody tends to eat on Thanksgiving. I don't even know what it's called. I forgot. Whatever. Who cares? It's nasty anyway. And what do you guys do? Do you eat olives? What's a good dish? You know, like what's your go-to? Like what can you eat a lot? I know cornbread's a big thing. I know people love cornbread or biscuits. My cousin was saying biscuit a lot. I'm like, dude, this is a roll, dog. He's like, nah, it's a biscuit. You know, them Baltimore people, Maryland people. It was really awesome. Do you guys have any traditions that you do? This year we had it at my brother's house. It was a really good time. My brother gave this powerful speech on love languages and loving people with their love language and understanding that that's how they receive love. And then my mom gave another speech behind them. It was like a heavy weight attack. Like my brothers punched them. My mom was like, bow. It was real heartwarming. My mom gave this message about how she woke up in the morning and made this pound cake, this bird. Look at me, I can't even talk today. She made this hummingbird cake, and she gave this real powerful speech about what the hummingbird cake represents: hope, peace, fresh starts, new beginning, etc. And it was a lot more. It was really powerful. And you know, I'm a huge observer, so I was watching my family consume the conversation. And you know, I was joking with my mom, like, you gave a TED talk, you know, you're a good speaker. It's really good to listen to you share your thoughts. Normally she's really quiet, so when she does talk, it was it's super refreshing. So that's something we did. Thanksgiving was awesome, and hopefully you guys had something really cool like that going on. And maybe you guys, you know, you go down and watch a parade, or maybe you go do some crazy, I don't know, cow tipping. I don't know where that came from. Who knows? But, you know, maybe you got some crazy traditions. If you do, shoot them my way. Maybe DM me. Maybe like something. Monte Hall on IG. And let me know. Maybe, you know, when this comes out, like I said, it's going to be on a Monday. Now, let's hop into the remix. Okay, so last week I interviewed Richie Kamtoon, great writer, director, and actor. And he's working with a guest that's going to come on next week, who his name is Zul Manzi, and he's the creator of the animated series The Matumbalas, which is amazing. It's on Quali TV. If you're looking for a new streaming network, go check out Quali TV and check out The Matumbalas. It's really funny, and that will be next week. So back to Richie Kamtoon. It was a great interview. I had some conversations with him. I posed this question to him, and his response to the question was really interesting. And that's the beauty of having good conversations, is to see what people say. And I want you guys to hear it, and then I'll talk to you guys about it on the other side.
And, you know, I did my best at that, I think. And so I think that's the main thing, is just establishing my voice and choices that I don't think any other storyteller would make. I think about that a lot. I'm like, okay, what is something that only I can bring to this? Because that's truly why I tell stories. You want to...
The reason you tell stories, the reason you go work hard, you go practice, you try to be so good at that thing, is to bring a uniqueness to the table, to the stage, to the joke, to the platform, to whatever it is, to the conference room. Is you want people to understand and see that you aren't belittling the craft, and that you're bringing your uniqueness to the table. And that's a great question to ask yourself when you feel lost. What do I bring to the table? You know, remind yourself of that. What is my unique thing that I do in this project? Maybe you're a good assistant. Maybe you're a good marketer. You know, maybe you're good at managing money. It's power and understanding what you bring to the table. It's clarity. You don't get lost in random things. You don't, that's not me, because you know what you bring to the table. You understand what your lane is, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a lot easier. Your yeses are way more powerful when you know that this is more aligned with my giftings. And I thought Richie, man, that was powerful. It was really good. And I wanted to make sure you guys got to see it. The interview is awesome. There's a ton of nuggets in it. You got to go get it. There's a ton of gold, and you just got to go digging for it. And you listen to it. And you know, whenever I listen to a podcast, I always take notes. And, you know, maybe just some things that stuck out. And, you know, Richie does it. He did a great job responding to that. The next one, this was a big one. And I flipped it. I like playing with questions. You know, the easy question would have been to ask him, how do you deal with imposter syndrome? Right? That's the easy question. The interesting question for me is, could imposter syndrome be a good thing? And I liked his response to it.
Be paralyzing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think some people, imposter syndrome might make them insecure, no pun intended, and keep them on their toes. Like, I shouldn't even be here. I got to work 10 times harder, right? At the same time, you could have imposter syndrome and think too lowly of yourself and not give it your best shot, or just straight up quit, right? And so it depends, A, on the person, and B, how you're using it. If you're using it as fuel, it's probably going to keep you sharp until you don't feel it. And I think personally, I fell in the former camp of that. Yeah, I've used it as fuel because I felt it. Mm-hmm. And one thing that was helpful for me was knowing that the people I look up to in the industry have probably felt imposter syndrome, unless you're just a straight up genius out the gate. You know, there's maybe some people like that, but a lot of people had the struggle to find their own voice or felt like, dang, should I be in this room? Should I be here? Until they knew they should be in the room. And mm-hmm. so for me, maybe I'm not quite at the commanding yes point, but I do feel really good about the stuff that I'm making. And for the most part, I know I put the work in. Not even for the most part, I put the work in. It's more so about doing it on bigger stages and things like that. And so, imposter syndrome is natural and it's healthy. It's just about how you are approaching it and how you are letting it dictate how you go about things. And so I think if it becomes crippling and paralyzing, then it maybe probably isn't the best thing. But, you know, I wouldn't know how to get over it.
And see, that was a great response to imposter syndrome. Sometimes it's not an either or, it's not this or that. It could be both. It could be good and it could be bad. It depends on what it does to you and how you use it. Is it fuel or is it weight? You know, see, it's much different experience for some people. I grew up loving music and I was infatuated with drumming and I liked playing the drums, but I had stage fright. And before playing the drums, I did a little acting as a kid and, you know, I would, you know, singing or doing plays was terrifying and being in front of people could be very terrifying. And I feel like some people would be like, oh, I can't see that because I'm kind of animated. But the important thing is understanding and how to deal with that feeling. And I know some of you are like, well, imposter syndrome is different than stage fright, but it's kind of similar feelings and emotions, similar energies. And what you do with it is the most important thing. You know, when I was on stage, maybe I had my hands in my pocket and I'd pinch my hand, or, you know, maybe I'd curl my feet so people couldn't notice, or, you know, whatever that thing is and how you get to it. The only way to deal with it is by doing it and learning to. I knew about this big time speaker who got invited to things, and he would wait and he would take a step. And once he took his step, he would go out on stage and begin to conversate or share whatever, give dialogue. And it was just a little mental thing that helped you flip the switch. So, and one time I watched him behind stage. I got really cool opportunity to watch him, and he did exactly what he said. He stood there, looked down, took a step, then he walked out on stage. So maybe your thing is something like that, or maybe you got to pinch yourself, or maybe you, whatever it is. I have this great advice that was given to me, and I think about it often. And it says, how do you know that you belong in that place? How do you know you belong in that moment? And the simple fact that you were asked, or that you were given the contract, or that you were given the opportunity, means that you belong. And that's how you fight it. If you got asked to speak at the board meeting and you got picked over someone else who was more fluid or seemed to have more things put together, there was something about you that you got the opportunity to do it, which lets you know that you belong and that you should do it. And you should take courage in that and do the thing. Do whatever it is. Whatever that thing could be, you should definitely do it. He had this phrase that I really liked, and I really kind of want to talk about it. And normally I don't play when people talk about necessarily what I've done and how influenced it was to have me interview them. But he said something, and he called it the biggest currency. And I liked it. I want you guys to hear it. What'd you think of that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I thought it was really good, man. I think you're a really good interviewer, and you're thoughtful. You're thoughtful with your words, which I really appreciate, because, you know, people's time attention is the biggest currency today. And so when someone chooses to consume something, I think about that. I want to be, as an artist, as respectful of your time and give it my best shot. And I can tell when I listen to your episode, I think you were interviewing a Division I women's basketball player. You were just so thoughtful in not only your introduction, but the questions you were asking her. And so
I like that. He said the biggest currency is attention right now. We're in the end of 2023. I feel like the social media era has been a big thing. The the, you know, conspiracy has been a big thing. What it looks like has been a big thing. People wanting access, attention has been massive. You know, we have these crazy streaming people, like people who stream. Look at me, I sound old. People who stream and they're just literally making noises. People will type in an emoji and they'll do it, or a saying or a phrase or a clip. We're addicted to attention right now. And, you know, this wasn't really the conversation. He was talking about an interview I did with another great guest who's she was more than a D1 athlete. And you guys go check her out, Rasan. And it was awesome to hear his point of view. The biggest currency is the thing that you pay attention to the most, right? The biggest currency is the thing you pay attention to the most. And attention to yourself, attention to how you respond to situations is important too. And those are the unspoken expensive currencies, right? We always talk about time. Well, my time is valuable and it's expensive, you know, and we charge people for it. You know, you get paid off your time, putting time in the clock or wherever you work. So that's really important. And I really like that statement, the biggest currency. What's your biggest currency? And I want to end this with this one, and we'll end the show with this as well. And we'll call it a day.
I do struggle with it, and I did struggle with it more. It became a either or thing for me. Either I let this consume me, or I let the regret of not putting out the work consume me. Damn. And
that's the thing. Either you let the fear, the stage fright, the doubt, the imposter syndrome, or whatever it could be, whatever that thing is, right? If you let that thing consume you, or you want to see what it looks like so bad that you're willing to carry those things or push them down a little bit to see what it's like on the other side of the trying, right? And that's the gist that I wanted you guys to get from this episode is try it. Go do it. Don't be afraid to, you know. Also, your boy was in another article, a magazine. You go check that out. I talk about that. I always try to talk about that. I'm a big advocate for creativity and pushing people and letting them know that you don't know until you try the thing. If it doesn't work out, at least you try. Now you know. Oh, that idea didn't work out that well. That's okay. Well, maybe this will. Maybe this next one. Take the step. And as always, was the truth to this conversation or was it just noise? I'll let you decide. I'm your host, Montaha. We out of here. Till next week. Peace. Do